The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with John Couch on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing. Today, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Today is Monday, January 6, 2019, the Feast of the Epiphany, also known as Three Kings Day, the official end of the Christmas season. So now you are entirely justified in taking down all of your holiday decorations today. We're broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Hope everyone had a lovely holiday season, whether it was Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, or whatever you were celebrating. Hope you had a good one and a happy new year to everybody. Listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. The live line number, if you would like to jump in and make a comment, or give us a suggestion, whatever, 790-2040. Every Monday we begin with our Monday political face-off. And this week, as we launch into year number 10 of the Buckmaster Show, we have longtime Republican activist who is in his fourth term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Bruce Ash is here. Bruce, how are you?
I'm great. And if I could talk about one of your sponsors for just a second.
Which one?
At Green Things.
Oh, sure.
I was there yesterday. Mm-hmm. I found two great potholders so that, you know, you can elevate your ceramic pots. They're great, very, very reasonably priced. And they have a selection right now of cyclamens that just knock your socks off. And I saw colors that they had that I've never, ever seen any place before. And they are great looking. Hundreds of them.
Wow.
Very well priced, too.
Jan and Jack, the owners, certainly will appreciate that plug. They do such a great job. Dr. Don Jorgensen with us, former chairman of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, how are you? Happy New Year to you. Did you have a good New Year's?
We had a wonderful New Year's, and I had to laugh because we are in my house in the removing decoration season.
Right.
You know, it isn't a day. It's taken a while. But in terms of the weekend, and the only one color I'll mention is red, because I was at the U of A game Saturday night. It was a red out and a blowout.
Yeah, it was great.
And
yeah,
the crowd stayed energized the whole time. Uh-huh. Just a great kickoff.
Bobby Hurley only
season.
Looked like his head was going to explode once in that game. I think he knew that this was not going to be their night.
That was the only thing the crowd couldn't do was get on him because there wasn't enough reason to.
And I know,
was a great win.
And I know you had a little celebration for your grandson and everybody but the Three Kings showed up, right?
We had a visitation viewing, whatever you want to call it.
Everyone
coming to see him, and just a
He's
wonderful
a cutie.
A visit with friends.
Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and moesgallery.com. The world is waiting right now to see what the reaction will be from Iraq concerning the killing of Iran's, the world's waiting to see what the reaction will be from Iran, but I guess you could say we're waiting also from Iraq to the news on Friday of the killing of Iran's second most important officials. Susan Rice, who is a contributing opinion writer at the New York Times, she's the National Security Advisor from 2013 to 2017, Don, she says Americans would be wise to brace for war with Iran.
Well, we're braced for uncertainty.
I hope it doesn't come to that.
No one does, but I think right now Americans have to be braced for the uncertainty because there is no clear direction that's been laid out by the Trump administration since the action that they took. And that's the concern. When you look at the killing of the Iranian general, no one is going to argue that he didn't deserve it.
Sure.
But the question is, was that the right strategic move? And the question now is, what are the consequences of that? Have they been considered? Because what we have not we have not seen either previous to this point or today is any kind of strategic foreign policy, no strategic mission in the Middle East. In fact, we've had nothing but contradictions from the Trump administration about drawing down our troops in the Middle East. You know, we recently abandoned bases in northeast Syria. He talked about removing troops and then didn't, and now is sending troops in. They'll be in Kuwait staging for we don't know what. We've had different explanations from the Secretary of State, and right now we just see an administration in disarray, engaging in these tit-for-tat military responses with no plan. And everyone wants to really understand, and this is a question that the administration needs to answer and hasn't yet, what's the end game here?
What's
the intended outcome?
Maybe Bruce Ash can help us. What do you think the end game is, Bruce Ash?
Well, the end game continues to be what the plan has been from the very beginning, and that's to avoid a war by being as strong as possible. Don's raised some very good points, and I think this is too important of a topic for us to sort of just relate this to a political thing, and you've done a good job by not making it political.
You're right.
You know, there was a Wall Street Journal editorial just in the last day or so, and they talked about the opportunities that the Clinton administration had to kill Osama bin Laden before the 9/11 attacks, which, of course, he masterminded. Can you imagine how this world might be different if there wasn't the 9/11 attacks? It was a fundamental turning point in our nation, in the world, and the things that have happened as a consequence of not taking him out. I think the same thing can be said today. And the president, you know, sometimes is not as articulate. He certainly isn't as articulate as either Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, or even for that matter, George W. Bush. But I think simply he said, we didn't try to start a war. We're trying to prevent one. And they have, the Iranians have been an agent for terror and for death and destruction. This man has led that particular effort for years. We gave that country, you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, which they've been using presumably for this. We have been doing our best for some time, even predating President Trump, with our sanctions on Iran, economic sanctions. Those are going to continue. And I think the idea is that we avoid war. If there is an outbreak of hostilities, I believe it'll be a very short outbreak. And I think it'll be very decisive at the end of the day.
The frightening part about that last comment, Bruce, which we have heard from Republicans. It's not just Bruce.
And I don't say it in a bellicose sort of way.
I think it
will be a very short exchange.
And I believe that Republicans believe that, as they believed the very same comment that was made before we went into Iraq, that it would be short, that we'd have
first,
the shock and awe campaign.
The first Iraq war.
Well, no, not the first Iraq war. We're talking not when the first one. I'm talking about when George Bush the second went back
second.
In.
Okay.
And everything we heard from Donald Rumsfeld about quickly it would be and how they would view us as liberators. We heard that from Dick Cheney. We're still there. And what Americans don't want is another extended war in the Middle East, again, with no discernible plan or outcome. I want to come back to an earlier point that Bruce made, because it is a real question, and it's a balancing point question. When you do have awareness of bad actors, you mentioned information that Bill Clinton had about, what's his
Osama
name
there? Bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden, sorry. So did George Bush, and failed to act on it when it was even more actionable intelligence at that time. But the question is, when you have that kind of information about bad actors around the world, when do you take action? And that's a real question. We've had Kim Jong-un threaten the United States. Should we go in and take him out?
Mm-hmm.
We've had other bad actors threaten the United States. Do you go take them out when they say or act in a way that is typical of our adversaries? Now, there's no question this was a bad actor. this Iranian general. No question, he deserved it. But there were, again, have to be consideration of the consequences. And both George W. Bush and Obama had opportunities in the past to take this guy out, and they didn't, because they looked at the larger ramifications and realized that it would really interfere with our larger strategic missions, which in the more recent case was fighting ISIS and maintaining some stability. Well, that's all been thrown up in the air, and now we have the question of how the focus of the American military will be split. Are we still committed to fighting ISIS? It's hard to see that with the recent actions by Donald Trump. And how will that be impacted by him moving military funds, remember, away from the military to his border wall? So you have all these contradictory actions by Donald Trump and still no clear plan.
Bruce, could you hold your comments so we can take Wayne's, caller Wayne, and then we'll take our break. Wayne, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to know how your guest, who says that President Trump has no plan, I mean, do you have proof that he has no plan? I mean, do you think that the president would tell us the plan, tell ABC and NBC and CBS the plan, and tell your guest about the plan? The fact is that the Iranians invaded our embassy, which was an act of war, and not a lot of people seem to even think about that. And the Iranians were right behind it, organizing this invasion of our embassy.
He was there, for crying out loud.
And yeah, they were there, absolutely, Bruce. So, you know, I just find it unbelievable that it's okay to invade an embassy, and it's also okay to criticize the president, saying he has no plan simply because he hasn't, you know, called your guest up to tell him what he's going to do.
Okay, thanks, Wayne. We'll get a quick comment from Don, then we're going to take a break.
Well, often we hear that, and it's often kind of the triumph of hope over experience. The Republicans hope he has a plan. Experience showed that he has lurched from one approach to the other, and so as a result, there is no confidence and no credibility. When we come back, we can talk about the impact of that on bringing our allies in as part of a larger strategy well, which we have not seen.
We will do the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and they have been around since 1985, offering the community a terrific service. Additional support comes from our favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They do breakfast each morning at 6:30, but right now the focus is on lunch. Stop by. They've got some great hot sandwiches. The grill's all fired up. MonasDanishBakery.com. Also a link at BuckmasterShow.com. Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen continue with us on the Monday Political Face-Off right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com. Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Bruce Ash is here. Bruce said some nice things about green things. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. But if I asked him, he would probably say a ton of beautiful things about Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I was just there on I was there on Saturday morning. And, you know, you'd be paying me commissions.
I know.
One of my colleagues through my RNC work, Ralph Hallow, was a columnist for the Washington Times. We're making him an honorary member of the RNC. He's covered the RNC since 1983. And anyway, we're doing a presentation piece to Ralph. And Corinne, I mean, she just knows exactly what to do. Now, the two of them are arguing back and forth with each other the whole time, which is very amusing.
Yeah.
But they do great work.
Yeah, Corinne's daughter does. Corinne is Moe's daughter, and she just does a
awesome.
Great job. Yeah. Don Jorgensen here as well. And Don, did you want to pick up after the break? There was an area you wanted to address.
Well, the whole issue had to do with the Trump administration's credibility when it comes to the current actions, which are, you know, actions of war. Whether we wind up engaging in a full-blown war, we don't know yet. And that's
are you kind of talking about edge. Alluding to the wag the dog syndrome?
Well, no? A lot of folks have questioned whether
the timing,
the timing with impeachment and trying to be the anti-Obama and all of that. And I'm looking at the lives of the military folks and the folks there. So that other part is interesting but irrelevant when it comes to the realities
sure.
of war. And the one of the issues when we've gone to war in the past is when you've had really good intelligence and good advisors with you, and there's been such turnover in the administration that's an issue of concern, a lot of unfilled positions, a lot of very inexperienced people. But even more so, again, contrast this to when George Bush went in. We had the support of all of our allies around the world. Now, that's not there at this point. Trump has ruined a lot of those relationships, weakened those relations, and it's become the U.S. versus Iran at the moment, and mm-hmm. that's very concerning. I mean, contrast this with a story from the Cold War. JFK dispatched his Secretary of State, I think it was Dean Acheson at the time, to Paris to meet with Charles de Gaulle to inform them about the missiles brought into Cuba. And the
Dean
story
Rusk.
At that time—
Dean Rusk.
Pardon?
Dean Rusk.
Dean Rusk? Okay. Well, it was Secretary of State.
Dean Rusk.
It was
Secretary
Rusk. Okay. One of the deans. So anyway, he goes to de Gaulle to bring the pictures to show that we have evidence of it. But de Gaulle being de Gaulle was a little myth that he wasn't consulted ahead of time. But even so, he said, I don't need to see the pictures. If President Kennedy said it, I believe it. Uh-huh. You have my support. Okay. We don't have that today.
Bruce, is this worrying you that we're going it alone, apparently?
Well, let me, there's lots of things to address here. First is the plan. And Wayne was right, just like Ronald Reagan was right, just like Theodore Roosevelt was right, just like Winston Churchill was right. You don't give your enemy the plan, and you hold it very close to the cuff. And frankly, one of the things that made those leaders as effective as they were, and I think is, you can say this about Trump as well. I'm not saying he's a Churchillian or Rooseveltian, you know, kind of a character. That's way, way too early to say that or not. But the enemy doesn't know what to expect next. And that is very much in favor of us. And all the while, we have put maximum economic pressure on that country. The country is not in favor of the mullahs running it. The country, those people who are starving, those people, those approximately 1,000 people they've killed in just the last few months or so, they hate this regime.
But is this about regime change?
It is about making sure that the Iranian government is a responsible player in that neighborhood. And look, the Soleimani incident, this shows them that the president has the will, the political will, to do what he needs to do what the world needs to do. Frankly, our European allies have watched and done nothing. They did the same thing in the lead up to the Second World War. And they have let the Iranians roll all over them now for decades. Long before we had 9/11, we had the hostage taking in 1979. And here we are again, you know, with the same sort of bad acting. There's lots of stuff that Soleimani had accomplished, and certainly he is a hero in Iran. There'll be another guy. We happen to kill the number two at the same time. Ironically, the same way
there'll be a number three
when al-Baghdadi. Yeah, sure. There always is.
Yeah.
But in the Middle East, I've made over 24 trips there. You know, mostly in Israel. But I can tell you that strength is what is respected, and frankly, our European allies have not. Recently, in a couple decades at least, they have not stood up to the kind of terror that Iran and some of the other Middle East bad actors have been engaged in, the same way that they played soft with the Soviet Union.
Mm. Bruce had said earlier that he thought it would be, if it goes to the next level, a short. Did you say short or you said?
I think it'll be very decisive and very short.
I don't know. Iran's got a lot of assets, Don.
Iran is bleeding assets. The dollars that they have in their treasury is rapidly decreasing. They're cut off in the U.S. Banking system, which is the world banking system. Their military is as weak as they've ever been.
But how many people do they have in their military?
It doesn't make any difference.
Well, you could say the same about Iran. In the previous war. And one comment I have to make in response to what you just said about our allies not being engaged, I think the families in these countries that lost hundreds of soldiers in the war in the Middle East supporting the U.S. efforts would disagree with that. So I think that's
I'm talking about Iran.
Sad thing to say. Well, we can even go back to how the Canadians helped us and others. But the point we have today is, we have a president who has squandered the moral leadership of the U.S., and that's where the danger lies. We have a president who has squandered the credibility of the U.S. with his 15,000-plus lies since he's been in office. So there's a low level of trust there that he's making the right decisions when it comes to engaging with Iran. And if anyone thinks it's going to be a straight-ahead ground war with Iran, they're also sadly mistaken. This is going to be an asymmetrical war, different fronts. We had a killing of three Americans on a base in Kenya yesterday, and there's no talk about that. And that may or may not be related, but that's an example of what's to come.
Well, I agree it's going to be asymmetric, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a land war, and it doesn't necessarily have to be missiles. There's lots of ways of increasing pressure on the Iranian regime to come around. And there is significant interest in that country for that country to move away from the Islamic State. It's amazing that leftists in this country would support a regime, would be complicit in supporting that regime, a regime that kills gays, a regime that represses women, a regime
I'm going to interrupt because that's a nonsense statement to say that leftists support Iran in that way. That's ridiculous when you look at past and present and the argument now.
We played footsies with Iran for the entire 8 years that Obama was in the White House.
And before
this
that,
is part of the reason that
all
we're
the
in
way
this.
Back, and you can look at the actions of Reagan. We can go back as far as we want. The question is, can we trust our leader to make the right decisions today? And clearly the answer is no.
It goes back to a personality issue between the Democrats and Donald Trump.
All right, Bruce Ash. Thank you, Bruce. Good to see you.
My
and
pleasure.
Don Jorgensen, thank you very much.
It's
the
pleasure.
Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Check it out, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back with General Wickham. We'll hear what General Wickham thinks about what's going on in Iran right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture and captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort, all on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things is our go-to place for some beautiful, beautiful everything green you can imagine. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. 13-acre site, also home to Zocalo and all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. The websites, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs is four-star General John Wickham, Commander-in-Chief of the United States Command and Commander of the United States Forces in Korea and the Eighth Army in Korea. He is the author of Korea on the Brink, chronicling the dangerous period in 1979 after the assassination of the South Korean President Park Chung-hee. In 1983, President Ronald Reagan appointed General Wickham Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army, a 1950 graduate of West Point and former social sciences instructor there. General Wickham retired in 1987 after four decades of service in the Army. The Army Times has named General Wickham one of the 10 leaders who changed the Army the most in this country. General Wickham was a combat commander in Vietnam. He was critically wounded. He was twice awarded the Silver Star for battlefield valor, as well as the Bronze Star for valor, the Purple Heart, 11 air medals and 4 legions of merit, and 8 distinguished service medals. His recent collection of poetry is titled On Life, Love, and Living. That book is available on Amazon. He resides in Oro Valley with his beautiful wife, Anne, and he's with us on the live line. General, how are you?
Well, Bill, what an introduction.
I gave you the full works.
Thank you very much.
I gave you the full 100-yard introduction there, General Wick.
That's right.
Wow. We begin the new year with really two very burning issues, of course. What has gone on in Iran since Friday, and then, of course, there's North Korea. But let's begin with Iran and the situation there with the killing of Iran's second most important official. Some of your thoughts, sir, to begin.
Well, Bill, very important. This is one of the most dangerous times in my experience that we as a nation are facing. And I think a good deal of it comes from ignorance in the situation in the Middle East. You know, the Sunni-Shia divide influences much of what's happening in the Middle East. And Iran is a Shia nation, and the Sunni comes from Saudi Arabia by and large. And so the Shia nation is feeling some need to influence the Middle East to pursue their own interests. And that's been part of the pressure. Now, when we go about, as we did recently, foolishly, in my opinion, tearing up the nuclear deal, which prevented Iran from having weapons for at least 15 years, I think we opened up a door to problems that we're beginning to face right now, a very foolish thing to do. And we talk about, well, we're going to solve things diplomatically. Yes, we should. But guess what? Our State Department is only 80% manned, or 60 to 80% manned with professionals, and ambassadors in many countries we don't have. So we don't have the capability to influence things diplomatically. There's an ignorance there and a foolishness about pursuing things where we'll do it militarily, like killing this leader and then pushing him militarily in other ways. That's foolhardy. And I think we've got to have a more reasonable approach. I've been to Iran and years ago and spoke at some length with one of the leaders, one of the Shahs. And what impressed me most was the quality of their military, which was just very comparable to our own in the West. And also the balanced opinion from the Shah that what we in Iran want is peace and stability in the Middle East, and equity for all. That's reasonable. That's what we're pursuing. So I thought there was much coming from Iran. Iran is a nation of almost 100 million people, well-educated, well-funded, and so we need to deal with them in a more responsible way rather than the irresponsible way we're doing it. So in a way, what we're facing now, Bill, my humble opinion, is a result of ignorance and malperformance in the way of leadership, and we're going to have to suffer the consequences. What we should have is a diplomatic organization, maybe led by China, U.S., and Russia, and then we're trying to figure out what policies make sense and how do we, as a region, pursue these policies. We're not doing that. We haven't done it with Afghanistan, which we should have done, and we're facing the problems there. So, unfortunately, Bill, you touched on a tough period, and I don't see right now any prospect for satisfying the problem.
General Wickham, how do we avoid a worst-case scenario with a full-blown shooting war with the Iranian army?
Well, the only way to avoid it, in my humble opinion, back to my what I comment about, is sort of a organization that looks at diplomatically all of the options that are available, sort of a conference of leadership that could be, as I said, chaired by China, Russia, and the United States to work out what are the options available, what are the policy solutions that make sense, that are reasonable. We're not doing that at all. There's no movement in that direction, and we should. And where's the leadership going to come from? Well, our White House could do it, but they're not. So the answer you're pushing for is a responsible question, but I don't see the solution.
The killing of this General Soleimani, General Wickham, even if it is justified by self-defense, does it make sense strategically? Is it a strategically wise decision?
No, it doesn't. I think it's sort of a tipping point kind of a thing. Foolish to do it, to go killing this generally very influential man and high in the ranks of Iran. And when the Iran-U.S. relationships are strained, as they have been, to do this is just foolish. It just pushes further. And I don't see any policy emanating from the White House or from the State Department that is reasonable. We're just going to mush our way through the future. And if it involves killing somebody or a little attack here or something there, we'll do it. There's no policy. What is the policy? I don't see anything announced from the White House. So we don't really have one that's been announced.
What's been the reaction among your friends in the military to this, General Wickham?
Well, I haven't talked to many of them, but I think the reaction is the same as I espoused on the phone, that there's deep concern about the lack of leadership and the lack of understanding of issues in the Middle East and the need for a strong diplomatic solution by settling down with a joint conference to figure out what are reasonable policy options and how we move towards those things. We're not doing that. And I think my brethren would push for that. Yeah, I come from a fighting circumstance, but the fighters want diplomatic solutions, and this is one that calls for that.
And unfortunately, there'll be a retaliation by Iran, and then that opens the door. That opens Pandora's box.
That's a slippery slope, exactly, Bill. One will get further, so it doesn't make any sense. Now, if there is what is the reaction from Iran going to be to the killing? We'll have to see. It could be a major reaction, then we're going to be a major reaction on our part. But if the Iranians are sensible, they'll try something less major, and therefore we might move ourselves down the road of some sort of negotiated solutions. But I have not heard anything from the White House about, or the State Department, or from the United Nations. Let's sit down and work out a peaceful solution to these issues. We need them to start in that direction.
And there is they have a history as a very dedicated army. They went to war with Iraq. What, that was a horrible war that went on for 8 years.
Yes, it was a long war and a lot of suffering and a lot of killing. And so they understand the killing. And, of course, like any nation, they want to minimize that amount of killing. But Iran wants to be a leader in the Middle East to be sure that the Shia part of the Arab divide prospers. And so it's going to continue to push. The failure, in part, Bill, you understand in spades, is that the United States has thought that it can solve the world problems. We tried it in Southeast Asia with Vietnam. We should have learned our lesson there that we cannot solve their problems. The locals need to get involved. And the idea that we can go into Afghanistan or in the Middle East and solve their problems our way doesn't make sense. We've got to work to have the locals solve their problems. We can help them. We can nurture them in the right direction. But we're not doing any of that, although we should be.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. General Wickham will stick around for another segment, 790-2040. It's the Buckmaster Show, Monday on this Feast of the Epiphany. We'll take our break in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Be right back with General Wickham, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the great places to stay, all sorts of recreation opportunities over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We thank them and all of our partners who have made this show very successful as we now enter Year 10 of the Buckmaster Show. We celebrated last week 9 full years, and then on Friday we launched into our 10th year. So we're very proud of 10 years, the start of 10 years, here on the radio in Tucson. General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the United States Army, is with us. He joins us usually the first Monday of each month. We started, of course, talking about Iran, but General Wickham, North Korea started the new year with a pretty strong threat to the United States that the world would, quote, witness a new strategic weapon. This seems to kind of end that 8-month honeymoon between the president and North Korea, doesn't it?
It does, Bill, and you're exactly right. We've talked about North Korea frequently. Just one comment to begin before we get into that. I want to commend those companies and organizations that support your wonderful program. They're doing a wonderful service for the public out here by allowing good news and thoughtful things to be explained. So I think it's a tremendous commendation. I did serve on the RTA, one of your supporters, for 3 years on the advisory committee. So I understand the role that they play, and I want to commend your supporters. They're doing wonderful work.
Thank you.
North Korea, as you know, and we've said before, we've got to recognize the reality that North Korea has a seeking independence in their views. The idea that we can force them to give up their nuclear weapons completely and to be back subservient to the United States is just crazy. It's just an idea that doesn't make any sense at all. The North Koreans grew out of Kim Il-sung, the founder of North Korea, who during the Korean War said, we're losing this war because we don't have nuclear weapons, and we're going to get them, and they do have them. So they're not going to give them up. But we still can contain them, as we did with the USSR during the Cold War, and got the USSR to give up thousands of weapons and to allow inspections all over Russia. So I think there are things that can be done with North Korea. But we have to be more reasonable and persuasive than we have. We may be willing to have to give up certain, make certain concessions to do that. But we're not moving smartly in that direction. And China is not as helpful as we should expect. China, incidentally, as you know so well, and Russia, too, is being led by leaders, the Chinese leader, prime minister, and the president, and Putin. Those two men are probably going to be leaders for life. That's the way their system is going. So we're going to have to deal with the reality of strong leadership from that part of the world. The United States has eliminated its role of leadership in Asia, turned it over to the Chinese, and we turned over the leadership of Europe to the Russians. Strangely, it's unfortunate what's going on, but in any event, the North Korean situation is dangerous, and I don't think they're going to fire any weapons at the United States, but they're going to use them for influence and leverage, and we need to be smart about how we work with them. In my humble opinion, we're not being smart. As I said earlier on your wonderful program, with our State Department only 60% manned with professionals, we're not in a diplomatic modus operandi to do things wisely and prudently in Asia. And North Korea is part of that problem.
General, as you so well know from your time over in Korea, the North Korean leadership keenly aware of what's going on politically with the United States. If they sense a vulnerability, they're going to take advantage of it. And they seem to sense the vulnerability of a president under impeachment and facing re-election. How big a deal is that?
You're exactly right, Bill. Important to point that out, that the North Koreans, like other countries, will see an opportunity for leverage and an advantage, and they're going to make use of it. We've done that in our own circumstances as a nation, and we'll do it in the future. But the North Koreans will use that as leverage, and we're going to face the results of it. We need to recognize that minimizes our ability to leverage the North Koreans. But there are things we can do with the North Koreans to get them to move in the right direction. And we can, because they need economic aid big time, and they need help, and the Chinese can play a role in that regard. But I don't think that China is doing all that it could in this regard. And we need to work smarter and harder to get the Chinese and the Russians to use their influence with North Korea.
A quick comment from you, General Wickham. As I recall reading about this joint exercise, a military recent exercise between Russia and China, and I think Iran was perhaps even involved in that. So you can kind of see the sides being drawn here, General Wickham.
That's right, Bill. It's perfectly obvious and good that you recognize it. Yes, these nations are going to work together. They have common interests, and they note that the weakness in the United States and the problems in the West, they're going to take advantage of it. The Brexit situation with Britain also is a factor. It weakens Britain's role in NATO and in Europe and in the world. So nations are going to capitalize on that, and that calls again for a smarter, stronger, but more thoughtful approach toward diplomatic solutions. And we're not moving at all in that direction. And that's, I think, shameful. It's sad, because it's going to impact our children and grandchildren for years to come.
General Wickham, it's always a pleasure talking with you. I mentioned your book is available on Amazon. Did you begin writing poetry at a later age, or was that something that you did even as a younger man?
Wonderful comment, Bill. Yes, no, the poetry came probably 10 years ago as I was riding bicycle around, and the beauty of the scenery in Arizona, listening to classical music on the internet, on my cell phone, and then just recognizing suddenly the blessings that have come into my life. As you know, I was almost killed in Vietnam from wounds and given the last rites. Fortunately, they didn't take. But those things caused me to start writing poetry. I had no training in that regard, but I wrote over 200 poems. And as you know, in my book, school students in the high school here drew pictures inspired by poetry. And the publisher, the first time ever, put those into the book. So it's an inspired book, but it's basically a book for the future about where we're headed, and it talks about values and goodness and the proper approach towards the future.
On Life, Love, and Living is the name of the book. It's available on Amazon. General Wickham, always a pleasure. Happy New Year to you and Anne and your entire family. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill, and God bless you for your wonderful program and your friendship, which is inspirational.
Thank you very much. Wonderful. Words from a man that I look to as my mentor, General John Wickham. What a delight to talk with him. That's going to do it for Buckmaster, first Monday of 2020. On behalf of John Couch, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.